This is .NET Cast with hosts Mark Baker and Nick Hemdahl.
Sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.
And now introducing your host for .NET Cast, Mark Baker.
Welcome to .NET Cast. I'm your host, Mark Baker. Thanks for joining us again. With me tonight is my co-host, Nick Hemdahl. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Mark. We're going to have another great show tonight on .NET. And don't forget, you can always find us on the web at www.ddj.com/podcast/.NET Cast/.
Welcome to .NET Cast. Today we're going to talk with Peter Provost, Software Development Lead in the Microsoft Patterns and Practices Group and one of the architects of Microsoft's Smart Client Technology Blocks, about smart clients and the technology to create them, including the recently released Composite UI App Block, also known as the CAB, and the Smart Client Software Factory, also known as SCSF. Welcome, Peter.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Doing great. So, Peter, let's get started with, a discussion of the Composite UI App Block to get going. The CAB. What's the block and how can developers take advantage of it if they're building smart client apps?
Sure. The CAB is an application block that is trying to kind of fill the gaps of some of the problems that people have when building enterprise smart client applications. Many of the problems that people run into are getting together a good standardized framework for building an application that can compose and bring together lots of other pieces. So if you think about an application like maybe in the banking industry, the actual XE that's running on a person's desktop is kind of a shell, and different parts of the bank may provide different modules that need to load up and plug into it. And what the CAB is about providing a framework to enable that pluggability and to enable kind of a discoverability so that as those modules load up, they can plug themselves in and get rolling.
I always hear the context of enterprise. Is there something that's going to prevent me from using the CAB if I'm an ISV?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, we have some ISVs we know who are using the CAB right now. We focused on the enterprise when we were putting the system together because it seems in our experience that these problems taken as a package are more prevalent there. But if you look at maybe some of the component pieces of it, we find that they're still very relevant in other businesses. ISVs in particular who are building software packages that have modular composability requirements are good candidates.
So what are some of the key benefits to developers and architects looking at CAP? I mean, versus, let's say, rolling their own or like a lot of developers would do with a WinForms app where they just sit down and they'd start slinging assemblies together and kind of worrying about the architecture as they went.
Sure. Well, one of the things that the CAB does is it really encourages, and you could almost say forces a sense of decoupling between the parts. That decoupling goes all the way down to the code and class level where we have kind of a dependency injection architecture and up into the module level where these different assemblies and component pieces come together. Rolling your own on those is a very doable thing, and in fact, you know, as part of the work we did when putting this system together, you know, we had to roll a few.
Right.
But one of the advantages here is that as a team of people who need to go out and write basically a business application or a module that plugs into one of these shells, most of that work, most of that thinking is out of your way. You just need to design your screens, design your workflow, plug into your back-end services, and in effect publish those. And the shell will consume them and present them to the user for you.
That's great. So basically they could take the CAB and use that as sort of the underpinnings of their application rather than worrying about all that infrastructure goo.
Yeah, and that's stuff that often hangs people up when you start to hit kind of a sense of scale. Getting started when you're first building your application, there's no doubt that just bringing up the WinForms designer and getting the data binding going is going to provide a faster experience for you for that beginning period. But as your application grows and as you start to get into that middle to late stage of the life cycle, where you now have 6-8 different competing modules, they're competing for resources, for screen real estate, and trying to figure out how they interact and communicate and collaborate with each other, it starts to get very challenging. So by using CAB, we've already kind of put an infrastructure in place, an architecture, to head you in a direction that saves you some of those problems.
Mm. Well, we're going to talk, I guess, in a bit, about some more detail about what's actually made up of CAB or what the elements within CAB. But how did you guys get started with it? What was the impetus to get going with something as rich as CAB from the PMP group?
Well, if you go back in time, we had a block that we did called the User Interface Process Application block. And the UIP block focused primarily on the idea of screen-to-screen workflow for both smart client and web applications. And, it was well-received, but at the same time, there were challenges with building kind of a common UI engine that worked between both web clients and rich desktop clients.
Hmm.
The nature of the request response thing in the web application, a non Ajax web application, it changes the way you think about actual UI flow. You will design the interaction with your user differently in the presence of that request response than you will in a smart client. So while we had the dream of saying that the workflow was the same for these two, we found out in practice that it rarely was. And when we started looking at the smart client side of that problem, we realized that the workflow was only one aspect of it, and that providing a good mechanism for these portal-like shells to consume modules, so in other words, the plug-in pattern and some of the various usability patterns around workspaces and discoverability of canvases and things like that.
Right.
Those were actually the problems people were experiencing. How do I make an app that I can just load up a module and it automatically finds all of its right menu points and finds the right place to present its UI, and then I want to change the shell later and I don't want to have to recompile a module?
Yeah, basically like a plug-in architecture type of thing.
It is absolutely the plug-in architecture plus a few other things. In fact, We have a kind of a slide that we play around with that shows, all the major patterns that we see stacked inside of CAB. And the plugin architecture is certainly one of the dominant players there.
Well, CAB is just hugely rich. I mean, you could spend just tons of time going through each of the different elements of CAB. But for those people who haven't used it yet, why don't you just, I guess, give us a quick walk through the different elements within CAB, and then we'll dive down into each of them and how they're used and best practices and whatnot. So, things like the shell, smart parts, and work items.
Sure. Okay. So yeah, the CAB system at its core. Let me give a quick foundational overview here. The CAB system at its core uses the principles of a thing called dependency injection. Dependency injection has this idea that a component can basically kind of express what it needs to be functional in some sort of a metadata way. And then an engine will load it up and consume it and fulfill those needs. Now,
that's just using reflection, isn't it?
It's kind of like really good reflection crossed with a really smart factory, crossed with a little bit of aspect engineering.
Mm.
There's a bunch of stuff kind of all crisscrossed in there, but and including lifetime management as well, and discoverability. Components can find each other without knowing about each other.
Yeah, and actually, just stop you there for a second with the dependency injection stuff. That seems just something that's hugely useful for just WinForms applications in general. I mean, has the WinForms team actually hit you up for, I guess, getting a copy of it and thinking about pulling it into the .NET framework itself? I mean, just as a technology, it's just amazingly rich.
Yeah, we know that the patterns and the ideas, the enabling capabilities of dependency injection are starting to get noticed around the developer community.
Yeah.
Of course, as you can imagine, we do spend a lot of our time talking to the product groups about how our work can influence theirs.
Mm.
And so, those of us on the CAB and smart client teams have had a lot of interaction with the people on WinForms, and I know we've influenced them a lot. I do not know whether or how they will be directly incorporating our stuff, like dependency injection and CAB, but I know that they're looking very strongly at the scenarios we've done, and are paying very close attention to the solutions we've developed.
Well, yeah, because one of the issues we've run into, to build like WinForms apps, is that when you build an app of any scale, once you start dealing with let's say foundational assemblies, you can quickly run into circular reference issues where you've got assembly A that needs B and assembly B that ends up needing A through some other pathway. and you run into build problems and whatnot. And it was just a nice technology as a way to get around that, not have to worry about what my hard dependencies are, if you were, between the different modules or different assemblies.
Right. Yeah. It kind of encourages you to decouple, and by decoupling, you get yourself pulled away from those circular problems.
Right.
That you can still get yourself in circular problems, but they're easier to address because you have a framework that lets you kind of split the two apart from each other.
So what was the rationale? I mean, getting into dependency injection stuff. What was the rationale behind why you guys went down that road? I mean, you really went down it in a deep, rich way.
So yeah, I'll give you a bit of history of CAB, and people who were participating in the CAB .NET Workspace kind of saw it happen live. The initial prototypes of CAB that happened, at the beginning of the project, were exploring this idea of expressing metadata via attributes on the classes. We know that the .NET framework has a lot of that, but as far as having those attributes kind of inform this framework at runtime,
right?
Something we hadn't done a lot of work with. The attributes, not at the kind of rich level that we're seeing in CAB. And so we had these attributes and we had these ideas of saying, well, this thing is a module and this thing is a smart part. And we'll get into what all those things mean later. But, you know, these attributes that are saying this thing is like this and is meant to be consumed like that.
Right.
We had the need, we know we wanted, a very early requirement was the event broker, the disconnected pub/sub messaging architecture. And we wanted to be able to express those very cleanly with just an attribute that says, I send messages, and another one that says, I receive messages, without having to glue them up ourselves. So we knew we had those problems. And so the initial experiment used a system.component model as kind of a lightweight dependency injection framework. One of our developers had a lot of experience with it because of his work inside of Visual Studio.
Uh-huh.
And so we were exploring that because, of course, that's where the component model comes from, is inside the Visual Studio team.
Oh, that's wild.
And it is a dependency injection framework, but it is what in the community is sometimes referred to as a type 1 dependency injection framework or a service locator pattern.
Okay.
Which is basically that the class or the component that is participating asks for stuff in a very active fashion. I would like to have something like that. And then you ask the container for it, and the container gives it back to you.
Which is cool, because you have no idea where that thing actually resides in your application space. I mean, you have no idea whether it's either in your own module or some other module or where it's coming from.
Right, that's good. But the problem is that in the presence of a service locator, you often run into where you have to change your programming style slightly. You have to make it so that the class that is having the need is aware of the container.
Right.
So it can ask the container to return something to it.
Right.
So what we did is we took advantage of a capability inside of the component model that allows you to hook events on it. And what we did is we put some components inside the container that hooked on the events of the container in order to fake it out so that the classes that were being added did not have to be aware of the container. It's a crazy roundabout description of saying we hacked our way in to make it so that the classes didn't have to know about the container, which was good. But then once we got that far into it, we started to say, well, now what's happening is the component model classes are actually getting in our way. So by exploration and by evolution, we discovered that what we wanted was something even more flexible than what we were getting out of component model. So we took four steps back and had a lot of heated discussions about service locators and constructor-based injection and all these other topics that come up when you start to talk about this stuff. And a few of us went off and ran kind of a little pilot project and created the thing that's now inside of CAB that's called Object Builder, that is a framework for building dependency injection containers.
Well, that's all for this episode of .NET Cast. Send us an email at .NETcast@sunburstsoftware.com and let us know what you think of the show. Take care, everybody.
The opinions expressed on .NETcast are solely those of the participants and not necessarily those of its sponsors or CMP Media, its partners, or employees. .NETcast is a CMP DevNet podcast and is produced by Sunburst Software at sunburstsoftware.com. Additional production support has been provided by Digital Context at digitalcontext.com. CMP DevNet is solely responsible for the content of .NETcast.
Sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.